If you know me, I'm a huge fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And Endgame, you know, is this grand culmination of like 21 movies that came before. And so naturally, I was like super hyped to see it. And so out of the many times I saw Endgame in theaters, there was this one time I remember I was with a group of friends right before a screening, and I was just asking people, like, what's your favorite movie in the MCU? And they're like, Black Panther. They're like, Captain America Civil War. They're like, Guardians of the Galaxy. They're like, Thor Ragnarok. But I distinctly remember one of my friends in the group answering, oh, this is actually the first MCU film I'm watching. And all of us are like, what? Like, are you going to even know what's going on? Like, why are you even here? Like, this is not going to make sense to you. And lo and behold, we watched the movie, and I'm looking over at my friend periodically, and he looks completely lost. Like, he does not know what's going on. He's like, hey, did the Hulk always have glasses? Why are there two Thanoses? Like, what's going on? He has no idea. And here's the thing about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Each movie in the MCU tells a compelling story on its own. But what makes the MCU truly special or remarkable is the fact that each story that's being told is actually part of a much larger, grander story that God is telling. Right? What makes the MCU special is that it is an all-encompassing story. That's why entire theaters were erupting in applause and praise when Captain America finally said those words, Avengers Assemble. That's why people like Ying were in theaters bawling their eyes out when Iron Man, in his last moments, say, I am Iron Man, before he snaps his finger into oblivion. Listen, you can enjoy each story on its own, but there's something magical that happens when you see how each of the individual stories fit into the larger story. You know, when people ask me what our church is like, I often tell them it's a lot like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. People all with their own individual, beautiful, compelling stories come into this place, come into this community where all of a sudden they discover this larger story that they're a part of. They see how their individual stories fit into this bigger story that God is telling. And I think about how beautiful that actually is. Like, think about your own story. Think about how Jesus relentlessly pursued you and found you when you were broken, when you were lost, when you were hopeless, and how he healed you and set you free and filled you with his life. And now look around. Every single person that's here has a story just like yours of how Jesus pursued them and found them. Listen, the point of 99 is not that Jesus left us. I know people always ask me, why is your church calling 99? Isn't the 99 the sheep that Jesus left? Like, how do you sing Reckless Love by Corey Asbury in your worship service? Leave the 99. Like, how, you can't even sing that, bro. Why call it 99? The point is not that Jesus left us. The point is that each one of us in the 99 were once the one that Jesus pursued. And he's longing for a 99 to bring the one back into. Listen, you and I, we're not random parts manufactured in a factory assembly line somewhere. Each of us have been uniquely chosen, pursued, and found by Jesus. Each of us have a beautiful story of how God rescued us and moved in our lives. And listen, that is the grand story of the gospel that each of our unique stories gets swept up into when we come together as the church. But one of my favorite things about that is not just that our stories enter into this larger story. It's that our stories actually collide with one another. And so now, you know, other people with their own stories enter into our story and vice versa. You know, there's nothing more beautiful than seeing our stories collide. My story is amazing. Your story is amazing. Your story is amazing. But something special happens when our stories collide. You know, I was at a wedding this last September of one of our former church members, if you guys remember her, Christabel. And it was so beautiful reuniting with a bunch of people who used to be a part of 99, who moved to New York or LA, you know, all our sworn enemies. And it was like this perfect snapshot of the 2019 to 2022 era of 99 Church. But I remember this moment, you know, looking out at everyone having a good time, and Krista was next to me. And I don't know, I just felt really old at that moment because everyone had so much energy and we're kind of drained because of our kids were there. And I remember looking at Krista and said, look at our kids. Look at them. Look at them having a good time. Look at them having an amazing time and being overcome with emotion, thinking this is what it looks like when our stories collide with one another. When our stories collide, a community is birthed. And we find ourselves part of each other's weddings and promotions and graduations and baby showers, but also part of each other's funerals and heartbreaks and hospital visits and grieving. I know for Krista and I, this past season has really been marked by grief and mourning, but it's beautiful to see a community surround us. And when I think about what this is, when our stories collide, those are the things that happen. Our stories become intertwined with one another, creating a new story altogether. And so the church, why we're here, this is where our stories come together, where they collide with one another, and where they get swept up into the larger story of God. Now listen, as I was praying about what to preach today or share today, God kept putting on my heart this one phrase, and I really feel like this phrase is going to define this next year of our church's life until we have our 7th anniversary, Lord willing. And it's this phrase, brick by brick. It's kind of making sense now, right? The Lego blocks. And it's kind of crazy because coincidentally, in our team meeting with our anniversary team, Gianna came up with this cool idea to theme our anniversary around Legos. I think it was Gianna or Yuna or someone. But they decided, hey, let's do like a Lego theme party. And it was so perfect. It was like confirmation because the word I kept hearing for our house was brick by brick. Now, growing up, I love Legos. I still do. And, you know, honestly, this is one of the funnest parties to set up for because we're just building Legos all over the house. I love Legos because there's something so satisfying about building something up piece by piece and then seeing it all come together. Listen, how many of you know that the kingdom of God does not come preassembled in a box, in a package? It's built up brick by brick, piece by piece, person by person. And there's this moment in 1 Peter 2 where Paul actually a number of times gives this illustration of what the church is like. And in 1 Peter 2, 4 to 5, he says this, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What is Paul saying? You and I are living stones, building up the house of God. Listen, look to your neighbor and say, you're a stone. Not you're stoned, you're a stone. Don't say that, you're a stone. Now hear me, church. Hear me, 99. All of this, like this isn't the church. Like these instruments, that's not the church. The coffee bar, that's not the church. This stage isn't the church. This building that we're in is not the church. But Paul's saying, you and I, we're the church. You know, we've said this from the start. San Francisco does not need another Sunday service. It needs a covenant community devoted to one another in love. It doesn't need more fine-tuned production. It doesn't need more slick branding. Our city needs covenant communities who belong to one another in love, who take seriously the words of Jesus to be a force of good in our city. And listen, there's so many churches in San Francisco that do the Sunday service production stuff way better than us. And if that's the reason why we're here, like we can't compete. That's not why we're here. That's not the church. You and I are the church. We are the living stones that build this house for the rebels and the runaways. So that means if we lose Verdi Club tomorrow and we have no space to meet, we're still the church. Even if we run out of coffee next Sunday, We are running out of coffee cups. And if we run out of cups and coffee beans, even if we run out of all that stuff, we are still the church. Even if our one drummer moves away to New York City and our worship team has no drummer for the next year, we are still the church. Why? Because we are the living stones that build this house. Now, Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 3, 4 to 7, he continues his illustration and he says, "For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each." Now, this is the crucial part. He said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." You know, there was this growing sense of tribalism that was emerging in the early church. Some people were like, "Yo, I go to Paul's church." Other people were like, "I go to Apollos' church." And honestly, we kind of see that tribalism today, don't we? Like, "I go to Stephen Furtick's church. I go to I go to Bethel. I go to these different places." And there was this tribalism that was emerging. And listen, our worships of celebrity in the church is nothing new. It existed back then too. But Paul, he's like, "Yo, stop. Stop doing that. What then is Apollos? What then is Paul? We are not the brand of the church. We are not the faces of the church, of this movement. We are not it. Jesus is. He is the cornerstone. He is the brand of the church. He is the face of the church." Listen, if we never are anything relevant, if we fall into obscurity as a church and no one knows who we are, we have no prominent preacher or pastor, but if people come in through those doors and they say Jesus is in this place, we have done what we are set, what we have set out to do, because Jesus is the cornerstone. And more importantly, he's the one who grows this thing, not us. Paul says God will grow. It's not lost on me that, you know, we're still the same size as a church as when we started 6 years ago. And honestly, on paper, you know, that probably doesn't look good. It's like, what have you been doing for the last 6 years? Why aren't you bigger? Why haven't you grown? Why don't you have more ministries? Why don't you have more money? But you know what? Every time I think about it, I'm not tripping. I'm actually excited and celebratory. You know why? Because it's not up to me or you or us to grow this church. It's God who grows this church. I have a friend who planted a church 3 years ago, half the time that we've been in existence, and their church has blown up from like 20 to 2,000 in like 3 years. And the reason why I'm not tripping when I look at that and when I look at our church is because it's not up to us to grow this thing. Whether you have a church of 3,000 or 300 or 30, God is the one who grows the church, and we can't take credit for it at all. That's what Paul's saying. You don't have to worry about expanding. You don't have to worry about growing. I am the one responsible for all of that. And you know, as a kid, I was the type of kid, I don't know if you played with Legos when you were younger, but I was the type of kid that as soon as I opened a box of Legos, the first thing that I did was throw away the instructions. How many of you are like that? Some of you are like, "That's sacrilegious, Pastor Mickey. That is blasphemous." But for me, every time I opened a box of Legos, the first thing that went out the window, first thing that went into the trash were the instructions. I just loved building things for the sake of building things, having no idea what the final product would look like. And honestly, sometimes it would be a huge L and it would collapse and fall on the floor. Kind of like right now, Zion, he loves playing with blocks, but he builds these large towers that have no foundation or structure. And so after he builds it, it falls and it breaks, right? And when I was a kid, I just loved building things. And I loved the feeling of being surprised at seeing what was built after I built it. And listen, if that ain't the church planting method, I don't know what is. I haven't met a single church planter who said, "This church is exactly how I planned it to be." Honestly, 99 as it is today is not what we imagined when we started building this church. Had we had it our way, this church would look completely different. But I thank God that I'm not the architect. I thank God that we have a master builder who knows what they're doing. God is the builder of this house. But here's the thing. He needs bricks. As living stones, your greatest ability is your availability. It's showing up and saying, God, will you use me to build what you want here in this place, here in this city, here in my neighborhood, here in my workplace, here at this church? Without bricks, we wouldn't have the church. God is the master builder, but he can't build if there are no bricks. Without bricks, we wouldn't have Sunday service every morning. Without bricks, we wouldn't have live worship every Sunday morning that we could worship to. Without bricks, we would have no space for the kids. And can I just say, as a parent, how thankful I am for our kids' volunteers and our children's ministry team? Because as a parent, it's impossible to find just space for ourselves to worship. And I've had so many parents come up to us and say, thank you so much, because I have never had the opportunity to worship so freely and just be present with God as I have here on Sunday mornings. Why? Because people came, living stones came, bricks came, and said, I am available. The question I want to ask you today as we move into this next year of our church's lives, as living stones coming into this place, are you available? I used to, at another church I was at, there was this person who was like, they came into our church, really loved our service, and then like ran up to me after, and they were like, oh my God, like this church is amazing. This is going to be my church. And listen, I just feel like I'm in a season where I want to be used, like wherever, whatever need you guys have at this church, whatever it is, I want to be part of it. Put me in, coach. I want to be used. So I was like, oh, you know, as a matter of fact, we do have this like Sunday morning outreach of like tutoring kids and like being part of this program. Would you want to help with that? It's like 10 a.m. every Sunday, Saturday morning. They're like, oh, I don't know about that one, Pastor Mickey. You know, I my Saturdays are kind of busy. So I was like, all right. You know, Sunday mornings, you know, we do need people to come in early to help set up the chairs and some of the equipment. Like, oh, Pastor Mickey, I don't know about that one. And then they got to what they really wanted to say. I'm actually a great singer. I was like, oh, really? It's like, yeah. You know, I feel like I would be better in like a worship leading role. You know, a lot of us, we say we want to be used. And we say, God, I'm here. But we have our own ideas of what that looks like. But you know, what I love about a stone is a stone has no say in how they're used. A stone has a design. You and I have designs. We have ways that we're built, things that we have, dreams, abilities, talents, gifts. But it's up to the master builder to lay where that stone is to be, to put that stone or brick in place and say, this is what you are here for. And I wonder, you know, for me, I know I'm a pastor now, but that's why I will never be above going under the stage every Sunday morning to grab all of this equipment and push the carts. Every time I go to the bathroom downstairs and I see a piece of trash on the floor, I'll pick it up because I never want to lose that heart that all of us here, from me to a church member that just came today, all of us, we're living stones and he is the builder. It's up to God how he wants to use us. The question is, are we available? What happens when we're available? We get to see these moments where God uses our availability and he touches people and he brings other stories into this house. What if that random person that you invited to 99 Social on a random Sunday ended up becoming a key member of this community? You know, what if that random person you talked to on Sunday ended up becoming a leader of this house? We never know the impact of our availability on what God is building in this house. I still remember the first Sunday Becca and Richard came to our church. It was at Spark Social. And I remember they were just sitting there. I had no idea who they were. I didn't even see them. I didn't even see you guys in service, honestly. I was like, you guys just showed up here. And I had no idea that they would become such pivotal foundations and pillars of this house back then. You never know what a moment of availability can build. You never know what it can produce or do. I do want to close with this last passage in Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. This is what Paul says. He says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You know, long ago when builders were planning their projects, the importance of the cornerstone made all the difference. It's this first stone that was laid that would be the guide for every other stone that falls into place. The orientation and the angle of that cornerstone determined how the rest of the building would be built. If the building wasn't aligned with the cornerstone, the walls and the corners and everything else would be askew. And so as that first stone was laid, it became the reference point for all the other stones laid subsequent to it. Everything found its definition, its place by that first one piece, the cornerstone. And Jesus, Paul was saying, is Jesus was that cornerstone. Listen, as we build this house, Jesus is the cornerstone. It's not me. It's not Krista. It's not anyone here. No leader. Jesus is the cornerstone, and we have to align to who he is and how he was laid. There was this one moment also in Paul's letter where Paul mentions that this cornerstone, this living stone, was rejected. This living stone was not accepted. It was rejected. You know, today is a really important day for our church too. If this catches you off guard and surprises you, then I'm sorry, but we have kind of been on a journey as a church talking with our volunteers and our leaders and our ministries about sexuality specifically, especially being in a city like San Francisco, which is such an important topic. And we've kind of been on this journey of learning and processing and having these conversations. And one of the big things that we're also celebrating today is that starting today, 99 is a publicly affirming church, open and affirming church, meaning that anyone from the LGBTQ plus community that walks through our doors, that comes to our church, can participate and be involved in and belong to the full life of our church and ministry. And, you know, when I think about Jesus as the cornerstone, I think it's significant that Paul frequently mentions that this stone was rejected. When I think about who are the stones that are rejected in our time and day in the church, I think about the queer community. I think about people that come through those doors but say, you are not welcome here. We'll accept your tithes, but you can't serve as a leader. You can't get married. You can't get baptized. When I think about the living stone that was rejected, that was Jesus, the chief cornerstone, and I think about who are the stones that are rejected today, I think about the queer community. And so this step as our church, I'm excited and I celebrate it because we are modeling our church. We are following in the footsteps of the chief cornerstone that was rejected. And we're saying the chief cornerstone that was rejected in the world is our cornerstone. He is the foundation of our community. And in the same way, every other stone that was rejected now has a place in this house. I'm excited because I really do believe these next few years will be defined by these living stones that have been rejected by the church, finding its place in the church once again, being a crucial part of building what God wants to build. Listen, when I look at that beautiful kids' party rainbow backdrop of different colored bricks, I think, what would it look like if one of those colors were missing? What would it look like if even just a piece of the pie, piece of the build and the project was missing? And when I think about what piece is missing in the church today, I think about the queer community. And we need them to fully express the beauty of God. We need them to fully express who God has called us to be as the church. And so today we celebrate that too. But we don't do it because we feel like it. We don't do it because we're trying to follow culture. We do it to follow the chief cornerstone who was also rejected. And so today, I want to invite us into a time of reflection. Why don't we close our eyes? There's a lot that we're celebrating today. There's a lot that we're doing. But for me, one of the most beautiful things that we're doing here today is, first of all, we're celebrating all of the unique stones that are in this house, all of the unique stories colliding together, being swept up into this grand narrative of the gospel. And the first thing that I feel like the Spirit wants to highlight and touch is that every single one of you is an important part of the story. Every single one of you is an important piece of what God is building in this house. Whether you're serving or not, whether you've been here 6 years or 6 months or 6 weeks, All of you are important here in this place. But the second thing is, the question is, are you available? You're here, but are you available for the master builder and the architect to use you to continue to build his house? Whatever that might look like, it might just be I'm showing up. And my presence enough already adds to the atmosphere. It makes this place different. Maybe it is serving. Maybe it is giving. Maybe it is getting more active or involved. Whatever it might be, are you available? Maybe it's making it a point to every Sunday when you look out and you see someone new, reaching out to them. What could your availability do? What could it produce? Not to like put her on blast, but you know, so many people that we end up getting coffee with that are checking out our church, they always tell us, Vanessa like greeted me on Sunday and she's the reason why I kept coming back. When I think about who makes themselves available, you know, Vanessa's not a leader by title, but she's very much a leader of this house. And I think there's so many other instances of that. So many people in our community that look for opportunities to be available, to be present for how God wants to use them here in this space. And then the third thing that I really want us to reflect on today as we close, as we take this really important step as a church to create an open, affirming, and inclusive space for the queer community, how might we become a safe space for the living stones that have been rejected to come and find their place again? How could we build a house, a shelter, a refuge, a hospital for those who have been rejected, that need a place, that need a community to pursue God with again? When I think about why we even started this church in the first place, when I think about the essence of our mission, a church in San Francisco for the rebels and the runaways, I think about those living stones that have been rejected. And I do believe our mandate and our calling as a house is to be a place where the living stones that have been rejected can come and find a place to build up the house in the kingdom of God, to build something that most accurately reflects the diversity and the unique beauty of the church. And so today, God, we make that claim and we celebrate that. We celebrate what you're doing in this house. We celebrate how you're moving. And we just thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness through it all.